KPOO San Francisco, it's 11 o'clock.
When we are ignorant, whether passively or intentionally, we have no chance to see the truth for what it is. If it is a passive kind of ignorance, we move about in a foggy bliss of unawareness. If we make ourselves ignorant, if we actively delude ourselves, then we are making a terrible mistake. We rob ourselves of the clarity of truth. We miss the beauty as well as the full depth and worth of the universe.
I said princesses are evil. How they got all their money was they kill people. If somebody hit you, hit them back. Then negotiate a peace contract. Life is a challenge and you gotta team up. If you play house, pretend that the man clean up. You too busy with the other things you gotta do. When you start something, now remember follow through. Later on, you gon' blossom like a lotus. You'll get in the boys and the boys gon' notice. It don't matter who you do it with. Just remember when I tell you, baby, you the shakes of promises, lies can spoil it. Words should be bind and sealed. Wash your hands after using the toilet. Brush after every meal. And also,
let me go.
White scary males. To make it simple for you, let's call them the bosses. They take money while the people take losses. Stole black folks from Africa to work for free. And we still barely get paid enough to eat. That's what I told you I be saying in my vocals. That's why the woman got the gun on the logo. The star is the future that we gon' create. Where nobody steal money from the things we make. The revolution take time and space. But you as a woman gotta know your place. That's in the front, baby. I'm being blunt, baby. If they get mad, say it's their time of the month, baby. Your face is just like the sun when it raises. Thank you for adding beauty to my phrases. Handshakes are promises, lies can spoil it. Words should be bound to zeal. Wash your hands after using the toilet. Brush after every meal. And like your granddaddy told me,
let me go.
All right, this is Mateo. You are in tune to Prison Focus Radio on KPOO 89.5 FM. That was from the Coup's latest album, Party Music. Just beginning the show up with that little piece. I thought it went well with some of the topics we're going to be discussing today. Today we have in the studio Vato from CPF in the house with us here. Also Chuck McNally, an activist from Fresno, California, who's going to be discussing some issues that are currently going on in Fresno. And on the phone with us, we have Maria Sofia, who's a machista and a member of Rancor in Fresno, a member of the Coalition to Free Maribel. And that's who we're going to be talking about at the beginning of this show here. I'll let Chuck introduce the issue. I know many people may have read about it or heard about it in the news in the last couple of weeks. But
So just to start out, Maribel Cuevas is an 11-year-old girl from Fresno, California. She comes from a working-class neighborhood that's mostly immigrants, Hmong, folks from Laos, and also a lot of Mexican folks. Her dad is actually a farm worker in the fields down in the Central Valley. She was just minding her own business with her, playing with her little brothers and cousins one day in the front yard of her relative's house in her neighborhood, and some of the neighborhood kids started throwing rocks and water balloons at her and her little cousins and her brother. So eventually she got so sick of it that she ended up throwing a rock back. There's mixed stories about whether she meant to, or at any rate, she didn't mean to hurt the kid. And one thing led to another. Before long, the Fresno police came out with three cars and a helicopter for this 11-year-old girl. And last Friday in Fresno, the community started to come out finally, and we held a vigil and to free Maribel and to drop the charges. The Fresno police, district attorney, and the mayor were trying to press criminal charges on her, on Maribel, for defending herself and her family against these neighborhood bullies. And so we held a vigil last Friday for this. This case has really gained a lot of attention nationally, locally, and especially internationally because of the injustice. And we're going to give a little bit more of an update from Maria Sofia from Maribel's first court date yesterday.
But also the bullies turned out in this case to be the Fresno police, who got a horrible record, you know,
exactly,
across the state, because basically what they're doing is beating up and locking up Mexican and people of color down there. You know, that's how they make their living. So we have someone online here that's going to tell us firsthand what's happening. So we want to go to that. But this is all about little girls named Maribel, you know, across the street or whatever their names are, that are being harassed by local bullies and, you know, trying to defend themselves. So this is like a little woman's right issue also, you know.
Indeed. Exactly. Maria, are you on the phone with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Awesome. Awesome. So maybe you can give us more of an update as to, well, so first of all, what were the charges that were being pressed against Maribel for this incident?
It was assault with a deadly weapon.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was facing 3 years in the juvenile detention system. And basically, the family was just really freaked out and scared. It was nice that the community came out, but Maribel stands for, like, so many other people, people of color, lower income, working class, that do get harassed by the cops, who there's racial profiling, there's definitely prejudice all over the place. I mean, the fact that three squad cars came out, helicopter, I mean, the whole nine yards for this little girl, just because they got the call and it was in a certain area, right away they assume stuff, and right away they criminalize people before they're even out there.
And so what happened when the cops rolled up? I mean, this is a scene that just sounds like a typical neighborhood, I don't know, something that, you know, any of us got into at the age of 10 or 11 years old, and there's neighborhood bullies. And
for any of us that grew up in the ghetto, I mean, this is like typical stuff. I mean, at 11 years old, to be throwing rocks is, I mean, there's questions about intent, but I mean, many of us did do it to protect ourselves. I mean, that's how we did it. And we weren't going to be calling the cops, because when the cops did come up, it was to arrest, you know, people that we knew, and it was always very brutal and ugly, so we didn't trust them.
Yeah.
And even at that, when the little girl was, she was walking up, the reports say that she had come from trying to make contact with the family of the little boy. And so she was coming up, and right away they start to go to arrest her. There's no issue of mediation or trying to discuss things with the parents. They take her down. Supposedly the cops try to justify that they arrested her by saying that she was fighting back. Well, of course, she probably was. I mean, she's 11, and she's freaked out. Yeah. She knows very little English. Her English is broken. She's more comfortable with Spanish. And they weren't, you know, letting the parents intervene. And, you know, and there's these big three, like, you know, actually six guys, you know, here to see her, to take her in to some weird, you know, strange place.
Yeah.
But even at that, they took her down, you know, and she's a small kid. And they took her down to the local juvenile hall detention center here for 5 days.
Five
days. And she only got to see her parents for one 30-minute visit.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she was that. A lot of the trauma that has happened from that to being there 5 days. She's a very shy, quiet little girl, and when I got to speak with her, she just, you know, very quiet, and she just remembered being really scared and crying a lot. I mean, even the police in the report say she was crying. You know, she was really freaked out.
Yeah.
Wow. But the official, I guess, resolution, so to speak, which was really more of a deal between the lawyers yesterday. Also, we have to remember that the lawyers were not being paid by the family, but by another community organization involved with the teacher of Maribel.
Wow, okay.
So the parents really just, you know, wanted to come to a resolution because they, you know, being humble people and just hardworking, they were just concerned that they weren't paying for it and that kind of deal. And they were just really scared, I mean, at the prospects of their daughter being sent to this detention center for 3 years.
Wow.
So they were, I mean, they were glad that the resolution came out that she would be under probation for 6 months, but she doesn't have to report in anywhere. And basically, she's under the care of her parents. That's how the probation works.
Okay. Before we get more into the details of the resolution, I want to know a little bit more about the community's response, because I was in Fresno this last week and noticed there's kind of was scarce coverage on the English local news stations, but that, you know, the Spanish stations and Univision had been covering it a lot, and there'd been more, seemingly more national and international coverage than local coverage. And so just want to know more about how the community in Fresno reacted and how that played a part in terms of this vigil that happened last week and in terms of the court case yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the community reaction, the case itself and everything is kind of a reflection of the social dynamics here in the Central Valley.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, a big base of working class, especially farm immigrant laborers that are, you know, racially discriminated, economically, the whole nine yards. And then you have kind of the growers, who run the city council, who, you know, have connections with the Fresno PD and so on and so on, that are, you know, have their official recognized organizations and, you know, voting power, economic power. And so most of the community is affected detrimentally by, you know, these measures and the protocols that the Fresno PD and the whole justice system in the Central Valley mainly follows affects these communities, disadvantaged communities. And many a times they are scared. I mean, they know what's up. They know it's all, you know, excuse me, bullshit, but they're afraid. Many of them are immigrants, don't have their papers, don't have documentation, and are just too busy working, trying to, you know, make a living.
Yeah.
But this case really definitely went too far, and so the community really did start to react, vigil that Chuck mentioned, it was organized in like 2 days, and it's just about getting the word out that the people do have power, empowering people themselves, because there is a sense of kind of just at a loss, because they know what's going on, but they're so pressured under the system that we have here that many times it's just scared to react because, you know, many of them try to follow the law, but because, like I said, of not wanting to get arrested and or being deported, but Maribel's dad said it best, you know, here we are, we're trying to do our best, we work hard, we follow what they tell us, and this happens anyway. You know, they come and attack my little girl.
Well, this is Vato here at Kepu Community Radio, and we want to give a shout-out of solidarity to La Comunidad there in Fresno, and wherever, you know, we have our colonias at, wherever, you know, the oppressor, the police are hurting us, and we're afraid to raise our heads or to, you know, call the authorities, you know, and we're feeling like, you know, possibly, you know, wish, you know, they make us feel like we shouldn't be here so that we don't take action. So we really are heartened when we, you know, yourself and other people down there that come out from La Comunidad, the oppressed parts of these communities, you know, the immigrant communities, and stand up to authority, you know, because if the communities don't do it, you know, it's not going to happen, you know, because the police are not working, you know, in our best interest most of the time. So once again, we really want to do a shout out to the community down there. And we've had people like that are organizing in other cities across America, you know, across California, where there's large concentration of immigrant workers and stuff. And let me tell you, is that, like you say, we have to empower ourselves, you know, because the system is trying to, you know, strip us of that little power and civil, you know, standing that we have here in America.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow, well, thank you. I mean, seriously, thanks for all the support that came from all over. And yeah, I mean, people can see it from outside because it's blatant discrimination and racism. And that's what the people here have to understand. I mean, there's a tight control, like the media, right? The stations here not really covering it. And the only one that really started covering it was the Spanish-speaking station, right? Who covers a certain sector of the community that's affected. You know, the police, you know, had a police dire still saying, you know, I'm standing behind my police, quote, men, right? Like there's no women or something. But that he stands beside them and that, you know, there was no wrong. And there's some internal investigation going on, which people here from Fresno that know that's all bull crap. Internal investigations rarely come up with anything. And we know that, you know, it's protocol for them.
Yeah.
And that's why many of us are trying to bring the independent audit here. And we're going to continue with that. In fact, I, you know, just today I was sending out messages trying to organize, and we're trying to get, you know, door-to-door to the community that is being affected to come out and that they have rights that have to be respected. Because si se puede, like, you know, uniting together, because we do, we have to protect one another.
Yeah, and also, Maria, we're working on getting more word out also on that media tip through our independent sources. I think actually some of us are finally going to start up a really grassroots paper pretty soon. But for now, there's actually a few sources on the web that you can find info about this if you have online access. And the one is actually a British guy that started a website for the Free Maribel campaign. And it's just free, F-R-E-E, Maribel, M-A-R-I-B-E-L, .org or .com. Check out info about that. There's going to be probably some follow-up after these charges were dropped. There's mediation between the families, but the charges have been dropped for now criminally against Maribel, even after the 5 days in juvie and all that other stuff. So there's going to be some follow-up on that. We're organizing to start a cop watch down in Fresno, too, because we need to start watching the cops. The community needs to start watching the cops and get out there and stand up for each other and watch each other's backs. So there'll be more info also on the Central Valley Indie Media website about all this stuff and about a case of Madera that's coming up next week of a Mexican guy who was shot point blank in the back of a cop car in handcuffs by the Madera police. So if you want to find info about that, the easiest way to get to it is Indie Bay. It's the Bay Area Indie Media site. It's indybay.org. And on the top, you can click onto a Central Valley thing, but oftentimes, you know, check out some of the local stuff up here, too, because we're covering a lot of these issues. And especially in the Central Valley, it's important because you got to find that info.
Well, here at KPOO Radio in San Francisco, we want to be able to send word out about what's happening, and so that also lend our strength to all the little 11-year-old girls being bullied in this world, that there is justice, and we're going to see that we do our share in getting justice for Maribel, because, hey, 11 years old is just too young here in America for anybody to be doing time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is part of the whole, you know, let's incarcerate them, not educate them, you know, not get them good teachers. Let's just lock them up.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, they, you know, they want to set up the community, and we have to stand up to it.
Well, Maria Sofia, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today and giving us an update on what's going on there in Fresno. We hope to hear back from you on the show again soon. And, you know, on other issues concerning, you know, whatever's going on in Fresno, but in particular police state and prison issues in the Central Valley. And thank you again for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, and thanks for all the support out there. And just give a shout out to all your listeners, and just, you know, keep their heads up.
All right.
All right, peace.
Thanks, peace. Okay, that was Maria Sofia from Fresno, California, talking to us about Maribel Cuevas, about her situation, the 11-year-old girl whose the charges were recently dropped against her, but was facing 3 years in CYA, basically, for defending herself and her family members by throwing a rock at another kid. And, you know, just illustrative of not only the police state that it's going on just in Fresno, because Fresno is pretty hectic in terms of its history there, in terms of the police history there, but also just throughout the state of California. And now though, we want to go back inside the walls. And before we do that, we're going to have a little musical break. We're going to give you something from Son de Madera, a group of Son Jarocheros from Veracruz, Mexico. And then we're going to get back into some issues concerning the inside of the walls in the prisons in the state of California. So stay with us.
Cocotito de melón, a una dulce fruta sabe la miel de tu corazón. Sin que se me acabe. Pruebo sin que se me acabe la miel de tu corazón. Cocotito de melón, a una dulce fruta sabe.
In labor, wreathed in pain on a hospital bed, and as she does, a shackle secures one of her ankles to the bed rail. It sounds like something out of a medieval chamber of horrors. But believe it or not, that's what happens when a female prisoner in California and in 20 other states gives birth. Shackling women prisoners while giving birth comes under fire from a Tuesday editorial. In California and across the country, women prisoners are routinely shackled for most of labor and immediately after childbirth, a long-standing practice opposed by a growing number of legislators and even a spokesman for the Conservative Guards Union. A bill introduced by California Assemblywoman Sally Lieber would ban the practice has moved from the Assembly into the Senate. The practice of shackling women laboring inmates is defended by the State Department of Corrections